Hello friends, Deja here. A lot of you guys have been asking what my thoughts are on the shooting death of Charlie Kirk. I have been raising the alarm about online radicalization for a while now.
I'm just gonna scooch in here, okay?
We are back. And so for context, I actually recorded this video the day after the Kirkening, but as soon as I started posting about him, my accounts were demonetized, okay? People were dropping my address in comment sections. It was an absolutely insane time on the internet. Then life happened and I needed to turn the boosters on focusing on my move. And rather than just scrapping this video, I figure I'll just interrupt myself to update my views because they have definitely changed. They haven't changed a lot, but they have changed nonetheless. And if you're interested in what those are, you can check out my Substack. But I still mean everything that I said. It's just that as time passes, your stances change or they expand, or hopefully they change or expand if you're not holding too tightly to the idea of something or how something is supposed to be or who you should be. But I think that it is a perfect time to talk about why going forward, you won't be seeing a lot of videos from me that are focused on specific people. For me, focusing on specific people when there are systems at play is a non-starter. Okay, that's just my view.
As time has passed, it's now coming out that more and more people believe that Charlie Kirk was actually taken out by his own people. Okay, that's the prevailing conspiracy.
I'm just going to stop her right there. As time has passed, I've realized that it actually doesn't matter whether Kirk was taken out by this lone shooter or if he was taken out by his own people or others who wanted to silence him or use him as a sacrifice or a false flag to galvanize the base. It actually doesn't matter because the root cause is still white male radicalization. Though I will say that they're definitely is a scarier option. Okay. I need y'all to clock in order for a conspiracy, a conspiracy like that to be possible. There has to be an awareness of the pattern of white male radicalization on a deep enough level to even be able to weaponize it for a false flag event. Okay. That means there has to be a deep enough awareness to be able to know how to trigger it, a willingness to weaponize it, and no incentive to solve for it, to solve for the bubbling rage, just to point it in the right direction or the direction of their goals, using people like attack dogs.
The storm is here. When we come, one, we go all. No one can stop what is coming.
You're gonna get hurt today.
We executed one of you yesterday.
And even outside of all of that, I sound off loudly about this because that radicalization truly hurts everyone. For the most part, I actually don't talk about the very far end of the right-wing spectrum very often because, to be perfectly honest with you, they are very, very scary, okay? And they do very scary things. And even though I'm in the process of trying to get out, I still live in the South, okay? In red country, deep in red country. I've had collard greens DoorDash to my house before for posting something that people didn't like. Groups like the Patriot Front and the KKK are leaving their recruitment propaganda around the city that I live in. I'm in it. And it's because I'm in it and I see it up close that I know that the Republican Party and the establishment GOP do not care about white men.
Okay, so this is still partly true, but to be totally fair, they literally do not care about anyone. Okay, they don't care about anyone. But in this very particular context within the confines of American culture, not caring about white men has very different outcomes for everyone else.
Do you believe the American political system is sophisticated enough to deal with complex issues?
No, I believe it's too unethical, and that's where I believe it's going to swallow up itself. And I believe we're going to look around and have mass chaos in this country.
Chaos? You're talking about violence?
I'm talking about violence, yes, because white folks are not going to tolerate being out of work. White folks not going to tolerate being told they cannot own a house. White folks not going to tolerate being told they can't go to Florida and get them some sun. And that's just what's fixing to happen. They ain't never had to worry about me. Because when I tore up something, I tore up my neighborhood. White folks will blow up the bridge. They will blow up the bank. And I'm saying if we don't look and see where this country is headed.
Let me ask a question. How do you get to this country and have this much money to start a store and buy houses for
$500,000?
$500,000?
Yeah.
The house on Crossridge that you were trying to buy for $500,000.
On Click?
Crossridge, that you put an offer in for $500,000.
Oh, well then we'll finance you.
I'm trying to ask.
Hey, be nice. No. What's going on?
I'm trying to ask, how are you getting in here
but
and doing whatever
you
want?
Stop.
At the same time, stripping public funding and ignoring the reality of the human condition and doing all of that instead
of addressing what is happening at an American cultural level, the type of radicalized violence that ended Charlie Kirk's life will continue to happen. They do not care.
Okay, so looking back at this definitely comes off very romantic. That was not my intention. But just to put it plainly, looking at the new Epstein emails that have dropped, we are able to see the deliberate interference of culture. Okay. We are able to see a specific push from billionaires for tribalism. We can see this. We can see the pieces being moved around like a chessboard. There is a desire for this. And it's not because they care about America first or anything like that.
Sir, can we ask you America first or Israel first?
Israel first.
Any of the cultural rhetoric that they are pushing, they don't care about it, okay? They are aligned with their class. Are you? When it comes to the Epstein files, people keep asking, how has no one been arrested for this? And there's only one answer to this question, friends. It's because they have class solidarity, baby.
And these people, this class has divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we fight amongst each other. We're gonna fight racism, not racism, but we're gonna fight the solidarity.
The things that they tell you as a regular person that you should be infuriated by, the things that they tell you to stoke grievances, they don't apply to them, okay? They have class solidarity, full stop. It transcends race. They have solidarity with those who work alongside them to maintain the elements of the system that keep them in power, and you and everyone you know fighting over scraps. They have solidarity to make sure that everyone in their circle keeps their secrets. There will be no Mars ticket for you. They're trying to get rid of you here. Why would they bring you to their new planet once they are done with this one? If anything, they might bring you to be slave labor because they have no problem with telling you that they have no issue with that. And yet somehow people think that you would just get a ticket to Mars and you would be brushing elbows with Elon Musk. And that's just the way that it would go. No, that is not reality.
Every time that there's a push for a policy that hurts everyday Americans while also telling them that their problem isn't real or that it's feminine or that it's because of insert unrelated scapegoat here.
A man stopped her, put a gun to her head, and took her son away. When asked who the man was, Ms. Stotch replied, some Puerto Rican guy. Naturally, the police are on an all-out manhunt for some Puerto Rican guy.
Or it's just a matter of working harder instead of addressing Americans' issues as a priority. White America sends the invite for online influenced violence to escalate. Every time a pundit like Charlie Kirk ignores the trend in white suburban male behavior in favor of skewed, outdated stats about other communities, a new opportunity for radicalization appears.
17-year-old Caden Spate has been arrested for faking his kidnapping. Caden Spate was reported missing after his mother received a text message from Caden stating that he had been kidnapped by four Hispanic men in a white van and had a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the leg.
What did the kidnapper look like?
Puerto Rican.
Was he tall? Short?
He was average Puerto Rican height.
We're learning new information about 17-year-old Vincent Badaloro, accused of intentionally slamming his Jeep into two best friends as they rode an e-bike. According to just-released court papers, police say he was driving 70 miles an hour when he plowed into 17-year-olds Maria Neotis and Isabella Salas. She reportedly had spurned his advances and had filed for a restraining order against him. He tells viewers it's all because, allegedly, Maria had made fun of Charlie Kirk.
11-year-old boy faces homicide charges after he allegedly shot and killed his father for taking his Nintendo Switch console. State police say the boy's Nintendo Switch console was locked in the family's gun safe. The boy was able to get inside the safe, where he also found the unloaded firearm. According to document, the child said he was blinded by rage when he loaded the gun and he pulled the trigger.
When you have a system that is dependent on ignoring the signs of a generation radicalized, the human loss disconnect, the dopamine addiction, the detachment from empathy, the detachment from curiosity, the detachment from social etiquette, in a country where it is easier to get a gun than it is to get healthcare, you have the ingredients for dynamite.
Somebody please get this man a gun.
Okay, so update on this take. I actually no longer feel that this is an accident. Ignoring the reality and fanning the flames is actually really intentional. It's not an oversight. It's a feature, not a bug. And I think that previously I thought that maybe this is an oversight. You know, maybe there's just not enough visibility into this, which in hindsight seems very naive. I no longer believe that. The losses are already factored into the bottom line. I do not believe any longer that there is a desire to change again it. I point you to this latest drop of Epstein files, where they are literally once again talking about how to get rid of poor people like they're trying to figure out what to have for lunch.
The state that I live in just became the first to approve firearm training in schools. And on the surface, it sounds great. It sounds fantastic. But what we know right now about Charlie Kirk's shooter is that they grew up in a proud Republican gun-owning household. The natural byproduct of increased familiarity with guns is also increased lethality.
Okay, so if you want to know what America will be like in 5 to 10 years, on a state level, look to Tennessee. On a city level, look to Nashville. At the time that I'm recording this, Nashville just had a bad winter winter storm, and it's been about 10 days for a significant portion of the population, and they still have no power. This is what happens when you have been abandoned. When you've been abandoned by your infrastructure and your elected officials who are too busy polishing the knob of Elon Musk and begging for the boot that they leave their citizens to survive on their own. Tennessee's really great for this because it's the volunteer state, so a lot of people take pride and we can do it ourselves. Da-da-da-da-da. That's not how it's supposed to be.
We interrupt this program to bring you...
Feels like we've been here before. But yes, another major winter storm is on its way to New York City. And it's not just a storm, it's a blizzard. The first one we've seen since 2016. Forecasts are projecting between 13 and 17 inches of snow starting Sunday morning, and there's a chance we might see more than 20. New York City is ready. We are in an enhanced code blue, and our winter weather plan is in effect. Sign up for Notify NYC for regular updates. Sanitation has mobilized its full fleet to plow the roads. They've activated more than 2,200 emergency snow shovelers in advance, and will be deploying more than 1,000 starting tomorrow night. If you'd like to sign up to be a paid snow shoveler, you can go to any DSNY garage from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow on Sunday. Property owners, salt your sidewalks and be ready to clear snow promptly. If your building loses heat and your landlord does not respond, call 311. Any call to 311 about a homeless New Yorker in need will be rerouted to 911. Outreach teams will be working around the clock to bring people in from the cold. We'll be deploying warming buses, warming spaces, and warming centers. The storm is set to be even bigger than the last, so here's what we're doing to enhance our response. We've brought in additional snow clearing equipment ahead of the snowfall. We're expanding geocoding tracking of bus stops, pedestrian ramps, and crosswalks. We've mandated that a path of at least 4 feet be cleared across all sidewalks to accommodate wheelchairs. We've gotten Lyft to increase the number of snow clearing crews for their city bike stations. Even with this preparation, Monday morning's commute will be hazardous. If you can stay home, stay home. If you must travel, use public transit. You will see delays to trash and recycling collection on Monday, with alternate side parking suspended as well. We'll make a decision on the status of remote learning at New York City public schools by Sunday at noon. This winter has tested us, but spring is just around the corner. Stay warm, stay safe, stay inside if you can, and as always, let's look out for one another.
They are testing real time and getting the data on how well people can organize, how well they can fend for themselves. These aren't one-offs. The amount of times that I was left without power while living in Nashville and I had to listen to people gaslight me and tell me that it didn't happen very often. Okay, Tennessee is ground zero. As my best friend would say, it's a real cushy place for fascism to land. One of the hardest parts about living in the South for me was watching it be the testing ground for the wildest shit and then slowly get rolled out to other places as the new norm. It was insane. It was insane to watch that the same policies, the same unpopular policies that were hollowing out Tennessee were being shopped around in other states years later and being called innovation. And even though that there's a lot of different shades of people who live in Tennessee, Tennessee is not Minnesota. Not even close. Franklin, Tennessee exists there. Brentwood, Tennessee exists there. Pulaski, Tennessee, the birthplace of the KKK, exists there, just an hour away from Nash. The response to fascism in Tennessee is a welcome home party. Great, and I know that we want to believe that we live in a post-racial society and, oh, Tennessee is diverse and da-da-da-da-da. These places birthed this culture of American hatred.
A Klan rally has many elements of a carnival. It's an outing for the family. Children start attending these outdoor meetings at an early age. Robes for the youngsters are made by mothers and follow the pattern of adult robes.
The same way that you can feel the culture of Black Meccas when you are in Atlanta, when you are in DC, the tether to that is the same cultural influence at play for white racial hatred. And it's backed institutionally deeper than anywhere else I have lived. Anywhere else, I've lived all over the country. It hits different in the South. A stronghold for it, if you will.
You keep talking as if something dire is going to happen. Chaos if the economy falls, a revolution if the political apparatus collapses. And yet, I don't see much evidence of that. I see instead resignation, disillusionment, I retreat into self-centeredness, the me decade. I don't see any sense of the flames that might flicker into real change.
I wouldn't see it neither if I wasn't watching the economy. And I'm not saying that we were cleaner back in that last depression or pure, but conditions forced me to live next to you as my brother. So I knew what dinner was. I don't know who lived next to me now. I don't know who's upstairs. I don't know who's downstairs. I know one thing, every other person got a gun. And when you live in a nation that would squawk more about registering their rifle than registering their children, then we're in trouble. We are completely in trouble.
The most publicized and best organized Klan leader is Imperial Wizard Robert Shelton.
People would just check the record and see that we have people was the painter contractors. Far as I know, failures. We have people was insurance agents. As far as I know, failures. We have people was concrete business. Far as I know, failures. and such as that just failed out and flunked out, couldn't promote leadership, and just lost out everything they had. And then, well, when they couldn't find nothing else to do, as the fellow said, they made him a Klans leader.
And make no mistake, despite what everyone would have you believe, there is no difference between child soldiers being groomed and children being handed guns and groomed to be in gangs, and the suburban white kids being groomed and radicalized and desensitized to enact violence on a mass scale in America. There is no difference. The Venn diagram is a circle. Children are being indoctrinated and weaponized.
He discussed shooting up a church nearby his home located in Waimama. This 14-year-old is linked to a neo-Nazi satanic group where they advocate and encourage violence to achieve spiritual enlightenment. So armed with the search warrants, Detective Service search warrant, and realized that the computer is linked to this 14-year-old. They discovered extremely graphic, disturbing images where individuals were inflicting violence towards infants and toddlers.
And despite that Venn diagram being a circle, I can't tell you how many white people I have met throughout my entire life who seem to have a very clear thesis on the needs of every other community and what those communities need to do.
No, but what I would like to see is for children in our country to have a better future than what you guys have. And that's not going to happen when he's repressing his generation and his people by saying they have no hope.
What do you know about my people?
I know a lot about your people.
What do you know about my people? Just because you do charity, give money, white does not mean you know about the young black people.
Nobody starves in our country. Nobody has to go out in the corners to beg. You can go and get medical aid. Nobody lives in the streets.
There's some people that live in the streets.
Here in this country?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, they don't have to.
Well, tell them.
are you telling me that
I'm not being facetious.
No, I know you're not. Yeah. You're telling me that people have to sleep in the streets like they do in India?
Yes, ma'am. But they don't. Yes, ma'am. They sleep in the streets and they die in America.
Well, you don't die of starvation here.
Yes, ma'am.
You can always get some food. We have.
I know we have it, but we don't always give it.
I don't think statistics would show that you're right. Nobody has to starve in this country.
Are you saying that the people who are below the poverty level, and there are a lot of people below the poverty level in this country.
Of course there are. The poverty level now, because of the cost of living, is almost $5,000.
You know, in Appalachia,
many people who live...
This is white people now, so I won't bring it to black people so you won't not believe me. In Appalachia,
there's no difference in my mind between black and white, and get that.
You're crazy. Now he's being frivolous now.
I'll tell you something. That's it. You go hiding behind the fact that I must have a prejudice. Well,
no,
damn it, I don't.
No, ma'am. I
don't have a single prejudice.
I wasn't hiding behind that. I was trying to tell you, in Appalachia, I was trying to make a common denominator for the masses. Like, if I use Appalachia rather than Watts,
they
would understand that better.
Are they starving
in Appalachia? Yes, ma'am. Sometimes the babies' bellies get swollen up, they don't get enough food, and they get retarded. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, because they
I don't believe it.
No, ma'am, it's true.
Having listened to you before, and some of the things you
said...
Well,
it's not just me. Walter Cronkite said.
I don't know why I talked to him at all.
I think he's very serious in what he says, and I think he has a point. There are people in this country who don't get enough to eat.
When I was young, when the earth was full of trees that bore fruit and flowers bloomed, they were sweeter and there were love affairs to be had.
And lynchings.
But they cannot or will not acknowledge any sort of public health crisis in the white community despite having the highest suicide rates and being the supporting majority in a political party that proudly protects child predators.
United States government is engaged in an active cover-up of the largest trafficking scandal and influence peddling scandal in the history of the United States.
How about we all come together and say, let's stop attacking pedophiles?
Is it not clocking to you?
You're not getting it. It's not clocking to you.
It also pushes out the false message that white America culture does not have any problematic aspects worth discussing, that everything problematic is imported. Which gang?
I'm federal.
Who do you work for?
DHS.
Do you have your ID with you?
No, I don't. Who's the guy in the white shirt?
That's the colonel.
Colonel me.
So I'm going to ask you to step out of the car, and we're going to walk back to the back of your car, okay?
Are you serious right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are we really doing this right now?
Sir, I'm just asking you a simple question.
Are you guys really trying to me right now?
I'm just asking what you look like you're impaired. I smell alcohol coming from you. Your eyes are bloodshot.
Guys, Are we really doing this?
You know,
we are both law enforcement. I'm going through a divorce. I'm with my kids, man.
Okay.
I'm going through a divorce. Just give me a minute, all right?
It's long, okay?
Lane, I'm federal law enforcement. I'm going through a divorce. My wife is trying to take my kids. I'm just... know what it's like to be law enforcement? Are you Haitian?
That's not what you're nervous about.
My question was, are you Haitian?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he's from. Okay.
Let me talk to your supervisor.
Not right now, sir. If you're going to pull away, then I'll do it in front of your kids. You are under arrest for driving under the influence, okay?
Lane, you really me, man.
Let me go with no, not counting it. His death was caused almost exclusively by white America and the GOP's constant focus on the splinter in someone else's eye while ignoring the beam in their own.
Still true. In fact, even more true.
It's the very carefully orchestrated keeping up of appearances while the living, breathing humans that are inside the house are self-destructing.
A lie told once is questioned. A lie repeated often enough becomes accepted, and once it becomes common sense, people stop investigating it. That is how deception survives.
So when the strongest soldiers of white America hold up this myth of the perfect, shiny, happy people, and they finger wag at everyone else while ignoring their own homegrown issues, it is very easy to see where they are false, whether they say it or not.
Let's just get some facts, okay? You have a multinational pedophilia ring made up almost exclusively of white men and women, and yet they fully expect you to believe that we should look up to them.
On one hand, other communities in America are consistently under scrutiny, which has allowed the kettle in white America to reach a boil uninspected and unbothered. Again, they have the news, they have the loyalties at every level of government. Even if the truth came out, nothing would stop them from changing the narrative or from ensuring that the kid that they arrested for the Kirk shooting has like an untimely death so he couldn't tell his truth directly. It would be swept under the rug if it came out that he was actually further right. It would ignore the truth, and the truth is that there are groups that are far more radical and far less empathetic than Kirk, and they are far more willing to use violence. When I say white America, I mean the cultural set of behaviors aimed at keeping the narrative going. White people used to be German Americans, Polish Americans, Irish Americans. They also fought and killed each other in the absence of a unified target. When it became advantageous, they gave up those meaningful cultural traditions that come from those roots, and instead of fusing those identities into hyphenated identities, they traded them for the universal ID card of white American and all of the benefits that came with it. It's an allegiance to the perfect, shiny, happy people myth.
It reminds me of this game that came out a couple years ago called We Happy Few. And in this game, you are living in a dystopia where everyone is wearing these masks with smiles painted on them. And every person you meet is required to take and addicted to this drug called joy. Okay, it's mandatory that everyone takes it in order to maintain good vibes and causes you to not remember anything. Happy people have no past. Got to maintain the good vibes. And if you don't take your joy, you are labeled a downer. And everyone who is on joy will sense that you are not maintaining the myth. And they will literally beat you to death. So make sure you take your joy, folks. The worst thing that you could possibly be is a downer.
People break themselves trying to live up to this ideal, trying to live up to this myth. And the myth works like a costume, projecting patriotism and family values and moral clarity and strength. While keeping the audience from seeing what's going on backstage, it insists on fake smiles and surface order, even as poverty, violence, addiction, and radicalization keep spilling out from behind the curtain.
A 40-year-old is accused of essentially walking into work yesterday at 6 a.m. and the first thing he did was grabbing a sledgehammer and then just bludgeoning 20-year-old Amber Check.
Stepfather in agony, screaming, inconsolable. The alleged shooter, Tyler Johns, appeared stunned.
I shot at him, bro.
You shot at him?
The boy mortally wounded in the back of the car.
Prosecutors say 24-year-old Matthew Ruth was stalking his ex-girlfriend and hiding at her rural Pennsylvania house waiting to kill her before he opened fire on law enforcement Wednesday afternoon. Northern York County Police Detectives Mark Baker and Isaiah Emmenheiser, along with Detective Sergeant Cody Becker, were killed at the door. A fourth officer was critically injured. Outside, prosecutors say Ruth shot a deputy sheriff before he was killed.
So over this past three-day weekend, a white mother in Vegas killed herself and her child. And then a white man killed his family at a hockey game before taking himself out. And then another white man murdered his ex-girlfriend and her partner, one a refugee and another is a soldier. But somehow the national panic in right-wing media spaces is always falling back about trans shooters. Let's be very honest about the patterns we see here.
The idea that there's nothing to see here, no problem whatsoever, that creates a cognitive dissonance where everyone involved has to lie to themselves to maintain the perfect, shiny, happy people myth.
We don't hate the motherfucker white people, we hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow.
Contrary to popular belief, you do not have to be white to have allegiance to white America. White America is not all white people, and it's not all of America, but it is a byproduct of America nonetheless. It is America's baby. When you hear a sitting U.S. governor say out loud that he wishes that the shooter were someone else.
For 33 hours, I was praying that that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us, that somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I had hoped for.
Know this. It is not because he hurts for his community. It's because of the desire to keep the mythology of the shiny, happy people alive. Based on the information that we have right now, the shooter, like many of these shooters, came from the very origins that white America has long pointed to as the golden standard of America. Two-parent household, Christian, Republican, and a normal appearance. He had all of that. They set that standard. And at the same time, they blame its lack of control C and control V across America as the ultimate reason for why everything is wrong in this country. Their message is that if more people were this way, there would be more perfect, shiny, happy people.
What kind of America are you?
They will continue to sell a false reality to an increasingly radicalized people. The violence that we are seeing will only get worse because the root cause will never be addressed in an environment where men are told to just work and pray harder. Charlie Kirk paid the price for the system that is white America pretending that their problems don't exist. Those are my thoughts. This type of radicalization is a public health crisis, and even more so than that, it's a documented pattern that's gassed up by a disregard of children, a disregarded weaponization of children, and predatory algorithms. And if there's a government that's going to weaponize it instead of address it, it's going to be an American one.
The range of extremist ideologies has widened. It's no longer limited to religious extremism. We see people drawn to neo-Nazi movements or the incel movement. I too have friends who have gone astray. I knew them when they were younger, and I would never have expected them to turn to extremism. But these things can happen. And when they do, we want to be able to act early and help them get back on the right path as soon as possible. Singaporeans, we have already started to do this. For example, we have developed a suite of interventions specifically tailored for self-radicalized young people. They include mentorship, cyber wellness, and programs to improve their social skills. And we are seeing some positive results.
Fixing it would require acknowledgement, regulating tech platforms, addressing young white male radicalization as legitimate, something to be addressed. It also just so happens that none of those things are profitable or politically convenient. So instead, point the rage at the enemy of the weak, rinse and repeat. And that, my friends, is why I just don't feel the need to be making any more videos reacting to individual figures who are truly just symptoms. I'm not even surprised anymore at the things that come out of people's mouths and the things that people say, either under the guise of rage bait, rage content. I have no surprises anymore, but I'm done focusing attention on the symptoms. Patterns, systems, how power works globally, how resistance works globally. That's the train that I'm on. So with all that being said, my penny for your thoughts question that I will pose to you today, my friends, is this. What's more dangerous, the violence itself or the national denial that keeps pretending it's not happening? Will the myth of shiny, happy people always take priority over reality?
Although some Klansmen have been apprehended and tried for their crimes, the fact remains that the perpetrators of more than 225 bombings and 1,000 acts of racial violence, reprisal, and intimidation in the last 10 years have not been arrested. The problem is that law enforcement itself is often in the hands of authorities who either belong to or sympathize with the Ku Klux Klan. The publisher of the Atlanta Constitution, Ralph McGill, explains why citizens are powerless to protest in such situations.
In the small community, you too often find that the sheriff is a member, or that the deputies are members, and the poor white man, or more particularly the poor Negro in a small community, He well knows that detection at all, that the law isn't going to help him because the law is more often than not in the Klan or sympathetic with it in the small Southern community.
Meanwhile, President Trump is calling for the country to move on.
I think it's really time for the country to get onto something else. Now that nothing came out about me, other than there was a conspiracy against me, literally, by Epstein and other people. But I think it's time now for the country to maybe get onto something else.
For God's sake, go back on your joy.
Now for the country to maybe get onto something else.
Oh, look, yet another thing we are being told to move on from. Shiny, happy people it is. That is all that I have for you, friends. I will see you in the next one. Also, don't laugh at my cracked phone. I am in the process of breaking up with Apple. And I've got a rich spirit, okay? Gotta keep the balance.